The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 29, 1988 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 13, Text 7 through 18.
Chalang Pangulangaya te giring at Kipa to Mahang Bande Sigurum Minatarinan Puraman and Tomadavam Sichaitanishwaram Sichaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 13, Text 7 on the Lord's Dancing at Rath Yatra for the Rath Yatra celebration today in Panihati, Atlanta. Adaita Nitayadi Sangi Bhaktogan Suke Mahaprabhu Deke Iswara Gaman. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his prominent devotees, Adwaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu and others, were very happy to observe how Jagannath began the Ratha Yatra. Bhulishta Daita Gana Janamatta Hati Jagannath Abhijoy Korai Kori Hata Hati. The very strongly built daitas, carriers of the Jagannath deity, were as powerful as drunken elephants. They manually carried Lord Jagannath from the throne to the car. Prabhupada explains that these deities were originally savars, and they were taken from the savars. And they serve Lord Jagannath. Katak daita kore skandhalamban, katak daita kore sipadma charan. While carrying the deity of Lord Jagannath, some of the daitas took hold of the shoulders of the Lord, some caught his lotus feet. Koti tati bandhadriha stula pata dhori. Dui dike daita gana utaya tahadhori. The Lord Jagannath deity was bound by the waist by a strong thick rope made of silk. From two sides the daitas caught hold of this rope and raised the deity. Uchudida tuli sabo pati stana stane. Aka tuli hoite twarai aro tuli deyane. Strong puffed up cotton pads called tulis were spread out from the throne to the car, and the heavy deity of Lord Jagannath was carried from one pillow like pad to the next by the daitas. In 1970, when I first went to India, when there was no temple, I went to Jagannath Puri, and from the top of a big building across from the temple, you could see Lord Jagannath being taken. The daitas carried the heavy Jagannath deity from one pad to the next, some of the pads broke, and the cotton contents floated into the air. When they broke, they made a heavy cracking sound. And Jagannath temple is quite high, and there are many steps to get down to the road level, and the actual base of the temple is maybe, from outside it would seem like 40 or 50 feet high. You have to walk up 3, 4 to 5 stories to get up just to the ground floor of the temple. Up to that point, it's all stairways. So taking Jagannath down the stairs, he's
Jagannath is huge. He's maybe 7 feet high and 6 feet wide, solid. So there are hundreds of people helping Jagannath with the ropes. So that when Jagannath, they can't lift him, they just slide him. They slide him on these pads. And when he goes on they have one rope around his lotus feet and one around his waist. People are holding him from all the sides. So they'll lean him forward. But the rope's on top, and then they'll pull his feet forward with the other rope. So he's kind of like walking. Then behind him, they have behind Jagannath, they have a huge, about 12, 14 feet high peacock fan. And you can see moving, they move as Jagannath moves, they move the fan. So even when you can't see Jagannath from a distance, you can see the fan moving. And in front they have about 100 people on each side fanning chamaras, fanning furiously the chamaras. Then before them, there's maybe 200 people on each side with gongs, those big round gongs. And they're all playing in unison. They're just going boom, 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 boom. And it's 400 gongs. It's very loud. You can hear it for 5 miles. And while they're going boom, 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 in unison, Jagannath's going shh, shh. And as they're pulling him, he's going forward, back. He's actually moving. And they kind of move him. And so it's really pageantry. There's hundreds of thousands of people. And it's actually like that. When Jagannath goes, you see, they have the pillow on the next step. When he goes down, oh, ah! He goes down, it's like he must weigh almost a half a ton or a ton of Jagannath alone. I don't know. It takes hundreds of people to move him. And, of course, he's the weight of the whole universe, so we can't estimate. But, I mean, even if one were to speculate materially, it's very heavy by even normal calculation. But if he wants to, he can be very light, or he could be heavy as the whole universe, because he's holding the whole universe. But this particular day, I could see that the cotton would just poof, would fly way up in the air. When he'd go down one step, he'd hear the crack. And I was a good half a mile, you know, I was quite a distance away across the big road. Maybe even a quarter mile. You can hear the crack and you can see the stuff. You know, they must have sewn the pillow so tight that it was like airtight when they came down. And then you could see the cotton flying up in the air. You can only see the tip of Jagannath's head from across the road and the big feather. But you could see the cotton every time. You hear the sound. And finally they get Jagannath down to the ground level. And then they just keep on boom, 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 fanning. And then they move him forward like that, and he's coming forward until they finally get him up to the Rath cart. His cart has 16 wheels, Balaram has 15, and Subhadra's has 14. There's no steering apparatus. In the steering apparatus, just the people pull the wheels a little bit loose. But it's a huge, wide road. You know, it's not like it. There's a road that's maybe 200 feet wide, and it's just no wires, nothing. It's just meant for Rath Yatra festivals. So they designed the city like that since 2,000 years ago. And then they have to get Jagannath up. So they have a big ramp going up to the Rath car in the front. It's all big solid logs and boards across it. And then, actually, to become a carpenter of Rath Yatra, every year there's a whole competition. People come from all over the country, carpenters, and they have a big competition. I don't know exactly what they do, but they have like a whole competition. Who can be the carpenter to make the Rath Yatra car? And some people, they do tapasya and everything just to be able to get that mercy. And in the Rath car, they use no nails. No screws. Everything is done with wood. So it's they use wood plugs to connect the things, and everything is, you know, cut so it fits in, and wood plugs. So you had to be expert carpenter. I read a whole article once of some carpenters come all the way from Delhi, from UP, from South India, to be able to site, you know, special seva for carpenters to come. And every year they build a new bhatiya from scratch, every year. They don't keep it. And then at the end of the year, they, I don't know what to do with it, but it's, every year they build a new car for Jagannath. It's pretty. So then somehow they got Jagannath up. It was very difficult trying to get him up this ramp, but somehow they got Jagannath up. Then when Subhadra was coming down, she came down right away because she was the smallest. They had her down within a 10, 15 minutes. Boom, 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 boom. Right up into the car. And Balaram is bigger than Jagannath, a little bit. But it's hard to tell. It looks like he's a little bigger or just as big, but maybe a little bigger than the older brother. When they took Balaram down, they got him, they took, you know, it takes a long time. Jagannath Puritamba, just taking the deities to even now, I mean, it doesn't seem to be much different now. I don't know, I saw it, what's it, 7 years, 18 years ago, I haven't seen it since. But then it didn't seem much different than what's explained here. They keep the same tradition. And it takes, though, about an hour and a half to take Jagannath down. I mean, going step by step, or maybe an hour, it seems like a long time. At least it may be 45 minutes to an hour. And to move all the steps and come over, he's just going, you know, he's just going at a very small pace, moving forward. So when Balaram came down, he had a big white fan behind him, like going 15 feet in the air. He's moving the same way. Big pow, pow, all the pillows coming down. When they got Balaram up to the, finally up to his car, there's the three cars in a row, and they're trying to take him up the ramp. One of the, it says here that often the ropes break, and they have to again replace the rope. So the rope broke, and he's going up, and there's like 50 people behind him. Little pujaris, one looked like half the size, I mean, the height of Balaram, and you know, just a small fraction of his volume. And there's like 50 pujaris pushing on him, and then they're pulling. And all of a sudden the rope snaps, and Balaram falls back, and the pujaris are getting, and then hundreds of pujaris are climbing on their back and pushing out, and it's like a whole, I mean, it's incredible just to keep the Balaram from falling on the pujaris and falling down. And they somehow retie the rope, and then this time there was like maybe 300 people. It's just like, I wouldn't say we're all the people, just like so many people are falling off the car and everything. And somehow they get Balaram up on top of the car. It's an incredible exercise. It's quite pageantry. What's the proper word? Pageantry. It's quite impressive. So then, that's seemed to the same similar situation, same tradition they kept. Prabhupada wanted to establish certain traditions in ISKCON. He established, actually many pundits in India, they say that what's important for ISKCON, it's a new organization, but with very important ancient roots, it's important for them to establish their own traditions. So that by establishing tradition, thing becomes very natural. Then that adds to the whole depth of the society and the preaching. The Prabhupada said to spread Krishna consciousness in the West through culture, through the Indian culture. So like having Rath Yatras, having different festivals, these traditions, whether on a temple-wide basis or a society-wide basis, these add to the society, they're a big contribution, and they expand the preaching. But Prabhupada created himself these various traditions. We're just continuing them. Originally, they're coming from Chaitanya's pastimes. Vishwambara chaganate kecha laite pare. Apona ichaya chole korite bihare. Lord Jagannath is the maintainer of the whole universe. Who can carry him from one place to another? However, the Lord moves by his personal will just to perform his pastimes.
Mahaprabhu monima, monima, kore dvani nanavartuk, kola hole kichui nasuni.
While the Lord was transported from the throne to the car, tumultuous sounds were made on various musical instruments. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting Manima, Manima, but he could not be heard. Purport, the word Manima is used to address a respectable person in Orissa. Lord Jagannath was being respectfully addressed by Sri Chaitanya in this way. So of course Jagannath is moving by his own sweet will. The self-manifested deity is Krishna himself in the deity form. No one can move him if he doesn't want to be moved. He's actually allowing himself to be moved, moving himself through the apparent via media of his servant. So Lord Chaitanya was calling out, Manima, Manima, addressing Lord Jagannath very affectionately. But there was so much noise and musical instruments that nothing else could be heard. Now it seems they just use these gongs, but possibly previously they used gongs and conch shells and trumpets and various other instruments. This is the various type of nana abhadya, various musical instruments, making a tumultuous sound. So part of the Rath Yatra, sometimes just taking Jagannath from the temple to the car takes one whole day. Sometimes their system is that if the Jagannath car doesn't move by the nightfall, or whenever it becomes night, they stop the car right there and they just worship Jagannath in the car. They don't go any further. Fortunately, even in Calcutta or in other places, I don't think the police would appreciate it if it would stop on the main street for overnight till the next day. They don't have that much clout yet. So we don't follow that tradition in other cities, but in Jagannath Puri they use that particular tradition. So sometimes it takes so long to complete all of the ceremonies of moving Jagannath, of the king coming and so on, that by the time they start it's already nightfall. And so then the Jagannath deity just stays there overnight and then starts the next day. It usually doesn't get delayed that much. It goes and reaches the same day. Sometimes I've heard that Jagannath, he just slowed down, didn't want to move so fast, and then couldn't go on.
Tabe purpa pratapa rudra kore apona sevan suvana marjani loya kore pata samarjan.
While the Lord was being carried from the throne to the car, King Pratapa personally engaged in the Lord's service by cleansing the road with a broom that had a golden handle. Actually, before Jagannath goes to the car, they bring Sudarshan Chakra and he goes around the car three times in the kirtan. Like Sudarshan Chakra prepares everything for Lord Jagannath and he goes in the car. Then after that, then Balaram, actually Balaram goes first. So Balaram came last to the car. Jagannath, Subhadra, Balaram, like that. But the car who went first in the procession was Balaram's. I believe. I know Balaram's car goes first in the procession. Now I can't remember whether Jagannath went to his car first or whether Balaram went first, also to his car from the temple. But definitely his car was first in the procession. And then Subhadra's and then Jagannath's. Once the procession started. So, of course for the devotees, the procession is a very big thing, but then Jagannath Puri, even just moving Jagannath is a whole ceremony. every point of taking the deity, moving the deity, placing the deity, then placing the deity back from the car into the temple at Gundicha, it's all a ceremony, it's all a festival. Every aspect of the deity service is done with the utmost care and attention, always giving the deity special devotion. So afterwards, even today, the present descendant of King Pratap Rudra, he comes on his elephant or horse, usually on an elephant, sometime on a horse. He comes up to the car and then he sweeps the road with a broom with a golden handle. This year the Consul General of Russia, he also swept the road in front of Jagannath in Calcutta with the broom with the golden handle. It says here also the king sprinkled the road with sandalwood scent and water. And although he was the owner of the royal throne, he engaged in menial service for the sake of Jagannath. Although the king was the most exalted person, still he accepted menial service for the Lord. He therefore became a suitable candidate for receiving the Lord's mercy. In India, sweeping the road is really considered to be like a real low activity. The only people that the sweepers are considered, because in India the tradition before used to be that they didn't have plumbing in all the places. So behind the houses they had a special chute and a big container where the night soil would be collected. And the sweepers of the street would go around and also collect the night soil. That was the municipal sewage system. And they would carry it in containers and take it to some predetermined spot on the outskirts of the city for the recycling. So their job, I mean, the sweeper was considered like traditionally kind of an unclean person, or was considered to be a very... Of course, the king wasn't doing that, but he was sweeping the road, so in a generalized way, sweeping itself had been considered something to be very menial, insignificant service. Maybe in America everything's like more equal. Now garbage men are called sanitary engineers. Sanitary technicians. Things like that. For a king to do that type of a work, it was considered quite unusual. But for Jagannath, because the Lord of the universe was going, he humbled himself and swept the Lord, the path in front of the Lord. This is why King Pratap Rudra got the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. In other words, whatever position one has before the Lord, everyone is a menial servant. Even Rama Harshan, who was a very great guru, he personally heard the teachings from Vyasadeva, from Sukadeva Goswami. He was sitting in Naimisharanya when Balaram came, and he didn't stand up to offer any respect. He didn't think that, or before the Lord, I'm a servant. He thought that I'm a guru. Just like if Srila Prabhupada or GBC asked someone to be a spiritual master, it's a service. It's a responsibility that they do. It's a service. The disciple may see them as a servant, as a representative of God or external manifestation of Krishna. But the guru himself considers himself always a menial, humble servant of the previous acharyas, and considers that whatever respect is offered is being offered to the disciplic succession through the spiritual master. But if the guru actually thinks that, he's something, you know, individually very great and independent of Krishna's mercy or the previous acharya's mercy, or that's a total illusion. So like Rama Harshana, for some reason he didn't stand up. He somehow didn't think he had to do it. And Balaram could see that his attitude wasn't proper. that the guru is respected by everyone, but the guru should respect God. So then he just took him out of his body. By touching this with a blade of grass, he was gone. So of course, it's a real heavy situation for the others, because they said, well, now we have no one to teach us the Bhagavatam. Of course, then Suta Goswami was established, the son of a Maharaj. But here we have, in contrast, where a king, of course, is normally not, the guru is supposed to be Brahman, more philosophical, more in contact with the spiritual teaching than, say, Kshatriya, was more into the politics, administration, and protection of the people. But in this case, Pratap Rudra was a very great devotee, and he followed the tradition of Indradumna and other great kings in the service of Lord Jagannath, and they would all sweep the road in front of Jagannath. In fact, the kings of Orissa, they managed their kingdom in the way that they said that actually their real king is Jagannath. He's the real proprietor of the kingdom. In fact, they would never, their palaces would always be moderate compared to other palaces of other kings in India. And they would always be addressed as the administrator on behalf of the deity. That the entire kingdom was dedicated to Jagannath, and they were managing the kingdom on behalf of Jagannath. And so they would only keep as much treasury as they would need for managing the kingdom, but they would, every year, they'd contribute a lot of land directly to the service of Jagannath, and they would spend a lot of money on Jagannath's seva. Rather than on their own kingly festivals and things, all the main money would go for the Jagannath's festivals. The kingly festivals would be toned down, relatively speaking. There'd be definitely some certain festival for the king, but they wouldn't be like in other places. The king was the big thing, and there was, but here Jagannath was the biggest focus for everyone, and the king was secondary, the representative or the servant of Jagannath. Mahaprabhu Sukha Pailo Se Seva Degite. Mahaprabhu Kripa Hailo Se Seva Hoite. Upon seeing the king engaged in such menial service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Simply by rendering this service, the king received the mercy of the Lord. Purport. Unless one receives the mercy of the Lord, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of God or engage in his service. Atapiti deva padam bujadvaya prasadale sanugrihita evahi janati tatvang bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pichidam vichinvan. Bhagavatam 10:14:29. Only a devotee who has received a small fraction of the mercy of the Lord can understand him. Others may engage in theoretical speculation to understand the Lord, but they cannot know anything about him. Although Maharaj Pratap Rudra was very eager to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord refused to see him. However, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king engaged in menial service for Lord Jagannath, he became very happy. Thus the king became eligible to receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. If a devotee accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the universal guru and Lord Jagannath as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, he is benefited by the combined mercy of Krishna and Guru. That is stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his instructions to Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 19:51. Brahmanda Brahmite Konyo Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lottabij. The seed of devotional service fructifies and becomes a transcendental creeper. Finally, it reaches the lotus feet of the Lord in the spiritual sky. This seed is obtained by the mercy of the Lord and the Guru. By the Lord's mercy, one gets the association of a bona fide Guru. And by the mercy of the Guru, one gets a chance to render devotional service. Devotional service, the science of Bhakti Yoga, carries one from this material world to the spiritual world.
So, Pratap Rudra Maharaj was not permitted to see Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya saw that he was sweeping the road in front of Jagannath, he was doing menial service, he got the special mercy. The devotees are very eager to do menial service for the Lord. Even Lakshmi Devi, she does sweeping of the touchstones in Vaikuntha in order to get the mercy of the Lord. The devotees are eager to do service. Actually, the deity's presence is an opportunity for all of the devotees to serve the deity. Putting on festivals like Rath Yatra means an unlimited opportunity to do service. Dressing the deities, building the Rath car, painting the Rath car, moving the deities, chanting Hare Krishna for the deities, cooking for the deities, sweeping the road for the deity, pulling the deities, and so on. So many services are there. By engaging in service for the deity of Lord Krishna, Lord Jagannath, this is actually what purifies the conditioned soul. This is the greatest mercy. I see in the material world, people, they want to work, but with the objective of becoming rich, so everyone will serve them. They'll have many servants, many machines, many toys, many facilities. Their idea is they can be served. So Lord Chaitanya thought, well, this is a king. Kings are like that. They want to be served by everyone. They're in the mode of passion. When he saw that no, Pratap Rudra was actually in a service attitude, he had a service attitude for Lord Jagannath. He wanted to serve Jagannath. He got as a menial servant without any pretension. Then Lord Chaitanya became favorably moved. Similarly, our mood should be to approach the Lord with an attitude of service. That the Krishna conscious movement is actually giving people an opportunity to serve. It's not that sometimes you hear the devotees say that, well, the movement owes it to me, they had to provide me this, they had to provide me that. I mean, what is the movement per se? The movement is actually the deities and their servants. And the deity doesn't owe us anything. The deity actually, we owe the deity our life, we owe everything to the deity. We've been taking from Krishna always. So this is the one opportunity we had to give back to Krishna. Prabhupada said that if we think that by coming to the temple and we'll get a nice facility and we can get many things from the deity, material things, we'll get these material facilities and that will be our result. But we won't get love for Krishna. But if we come and we think that we want to serve the deity, this is our opportunity. For so long we've not served Krishna. We've served our senses, we've served Maya. Now let us dedicate ourselves and serve deity. Then that is the actual perfection of life. And then for serving the deity, like Maharaj Pratap Rudra got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he got love of Krishna, we can also get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can get love of Krishna, which is the highest goal. So we are not pure enough to see Krishna in his original transcendental form. So the Lord appears to us in his deity form. But also Krishna is there. For those who have the eye to see, they can actually realize that Krishna is there. And by serving the deity, we get the same transcendental benefit. Serving the deity and serving the holy name. The deity is a form, visible form of the Lord. And the holy name is the audible form of the Lord. The form we can hear or the form we can see. Put it in simple language. So, we chant the holy name to hear the Lord. And we see that, take the darshan, we see the deity of the Lord. To actually purify our sense of seeing. The two forms are not different. They're different functions, different purposes. So different deity forms have different moods, different ecstasies, different leelas or pastimes. It says, although the Krishna is the same, what is the difference between Krishna and Nupanihati, or Lord Chaitanya and Nupanihati, and Lord Chaitanya in Nutalabon, or in Los Angeles, or in Toronto, or anywhere else? So in the Shastra it says there is a difference, and there's also not a difference. Of course, it's Krishna everywhere. So in that sense, there's no difference. But another sense that each deity has got lila vaichitra, has different pastimes, different ways of reciprocating with the devotees. So some devotees experience that a particular deity is very merciful. He gives the mercy very easy, or a particular deity is very heavy. In case the devotees are careless, the deity may react. Or the deity is very, very active, very responsive, reciprocates with the devotees very directly, whereas another deity doesn't seem to respond as much. Different pastimes are there, different characteristics. And these are not speculated. I mean, someone might speculate what they are in some cases. But the fact that different deities have different qualities and different activities, different pastimes with their devotees, this is not a speculation. This is confirmed in the Shastra, that different deities have different pastimes. Just like the deity in Ramuna stole the pot of condensed milk from Madhavendra Puri, or like the Sakshi Gopal deity walked all the way from Vrindavan to Orissa. Similarly, the ISKCON deities, some of them have different pastimes also. Some are recognized by the devotees, and some they may not think, or do not realize that it was the deity performing the pastime. So if we want to understand the Lord, we need the mercy of the Lord. So we get the mercy of the Lord by approaching in a humble attitude and serving. By getting a little mercy of the Lord, then we can understand the Lord. If you want to know something about the personal life of some very important person, you have to become a friend of that person, get the confidence of that person, then you can know actually what he's doing. You see, if you want to know deeper about Krishna, you need to absorb yourself in Krishna's service and become intimate with Krishna. He reveals by his causeless mercy. He doesn't have to, but he sees the devotee sincere, is trying whatever by his own desire. He gives a little mercy, and then the devotee can understand Krishna. There many people, they come, they don't understand Krishna. Even you explain to them, they just can't understand it. Somehow there's like a mental block. So that means they didn't get the mercy of Lord Krishna. They can get a little mercy, then they can only understand. So sometimes the devotee, they see that someone's having difficulty to understand Krishna consciousness. They pray to Krishna, please give this person mercy. Give him a drop of your mercy. This prayer by the devotee to Krishna to give a little mercy to the neophyte is a means whereby the neophyte can advance. So the Guru is always praying for his disciples and for new devotees to get some mercy from Lord Krishna. And the devotees are anxious to get the mercy of Guru, of Krishna. In this case, Lord Chaitanya himself was present and Lord Jagannath himself. So Jagannath is the original spiritual master. He's Krishna in the form of his original Guru, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jagannath is himself Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Jaya Jaya, so this is a day I don't want to speak too long because we have so many services we can perform. And this is also the month of Damodar, so whatever service we do, we also get multiple effect. We should try to do as much service as we can to get the special mercy. actually the... I mean, just like, I remember when, I don't know if they still do this, but years ago when I was a child, some supermarkets gave a lottery or a draw or something, and they would allow people a certain period of time, like 11 minutes or 12 minutes or a half hour or something, where during that time they could take, this was the sweepstake prize, you could take whatever you wanted in that time, as much as you could. You know, then they, on your mark, it's it. You know, the people, with the shopping carts and running and piling up all from the, running back, you know, and then, bing, time's up, you know. So for material things, the people going mad, you know, practically crying, trying to grab all the cereal and whatnot, I don't know, whatever groceries they could get. And they're videoing it, you know, to show that, you know, it's a big publicity stunt for the supermarket. These ladies going crazy trying to get as many groceries in their cart as they could in 10 minutes time. But for material things, people go like mad, running around trying to get... And because they, oh, I have just this little time, I can get as much as I want. It's like a bargain. It's just free. But actually, we should be more mad than that. To get the mercy, what did I just keep going after a couple of boxes of cereal and a few cans of things and whatnot? But here, we're getting the greatest mercy of Lord Chaitanya. His pastimes are just in the material world for a limited time. And we're here for a very limited time. And then, even within that time, like there's some special days like Rath Yatras or Damodar month, where we can get 100 times the benefit by doing some devotional service. So everything is like very auspicious, but it's only at a certain time. We don't know how long we'll be in Krishna consciousness. Maya may trick us, or we may commit some offense by being inadvertent. So if we can accumulate as much mercy from Krishna, or much devotional service to qualify yourself for His causeless mercy, to attract a little more mercy, that can be the difference between our crossing over some obstacle by Maya, or our not being strong enough spiritually and succumbing. So actually, while we have the consciousness, we should be so active to serve Krishna that we never get distracted by Maya. If we take this special opportunity, we should be so eager. We're here with Krishna Chaitanya, take as much mercy as you want. We should just be thinking how I can be serving day and night, 24 hours, and simply give out as much mercy, as many books, as much service as I can do in this time. So many moments and minutes and hours and even days and weeks, we let slip through our finger without proper utilizing them in devotional service. We should actually take the advantage. Lord Chaitanya, of course, he was always fully engaged, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, his whole life. Still, Srila Prabhupada in his footsteps. Therefore, they're giving them mercy always. You're saying, we should try to follow in their footsteps and similarly stay completely engaged always. Actually, the uttam, highest level of disciple, is always looking for what the guru wants, looking for what Krishna wants. They're going forward and there are one who is the guru has to tell, all right, do this, do that. He does it diligently. The third level, the guru says you should do this, but even then, they don't do it so enthusiastically or so carefully or so expertly. There's a lot of mistakes. Then the fourth class, which is actually Adam, fallen disciple, they don't even properly do what the guru asks. They don't do it. They neglect. Get into Maya. So by acting, trying to act in a least in the second level where we diligently carry out the instructions of the spiritual master in trying to understand, and at least spontaneously offering always, what service can I do next, going to the temple president, going to the authority, what service can I do? Looking for service, being eager for service. That is actually the best attitude that one could have. Because this is our greatest opportunity to serve. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jagannath Swami Ki Baladev Ki Subhadra Devi Ki. Any questions? Yes, Kati. Well, if the guru is properly situated, giving proper service, then this means that the disciple is not very expert. The guru has to be expert to know the disciple capacity and give service, but the disciple from their side, they always try to carry out the guru's instructions. So in the beginning it's like that. Prabhupada explained that in the beginning little children, they make a lot of mess. They make a mess and the mother has to clean it up and change the diapers. So like that in the beginning, as when the disciples serving the spiritual master, then even after first initiation, and the disciple is still very neophyte and creates some time out of anxiety for the guru. I think gradually they're supposed to become more just like a child grows. By the time they take Brahma initiation, they're supposed to become very steady and more expert in their services. When someone uninitiated is seeking for the guru and they're serving different spiritual masters, or they're trying to find out their spiritual master, then in doing their service, they also see how they're being purified, how they're able to become enthused in devotional service, how they're becoming trained, what's the results. But in that particular state of devotional service, there's bound to be a lot of mistakes because they're new. But they can make up for that if they're enthusiastic. That's why enthusiasm to go on trying and being patient, even though one makes mistakes, not to just throw in the towel or to give up or to get disgusted and say, oh, I'm not going to serve anymore. But to sincerely try to serve and to correct the mistakes, not be overwhelmed with false ego. If one makes a mistake but then they get angry at the guru or at other people, rather than, you know, just see that, you know, this is also my purification. Krishna is revealing to me my shortcomings so I can correct them. Mistakes are also a necessary part of purification. Whenever we have something in us that needs to be purified, and if we're not able to philosophically by our intellect realize it and change it, then because we're bewildered by false ego or something, then sometimes it has to be revealed to us that you have a problem. You have this aspect of your devotional life which needs to be purified and corrected. So therefore, if there's no other way of seeing, we'll make some mistake. And then that humbles us. We can see, oh, I'm not so expert. I'm not exactly what I thought I was. I have to now readjust my thinking and I have to correct my mistakes. This is the proper attitude. But if we stay fixed in false ego, and then we don't correct a mistake, or we get angry, we get stubborn, trying to just say, well, it's not really a mistake, it's, you know, or some other kind of false position, then that can turn even into offenses. So we have to be very careful, to be humble, to accept the guidance of senior devotees, and to actually try to correct our own shortcomings. Having shortcomings, even for a long period of time, itself isn't the problem. It's how we deal with the shortcomings. Are we surrendered? Are we willing to face them and try to correct them? Being diseased is not a bad thing. It's like someone comes, they have an infection. You're diseased, you know. It's not like that. It's not like someone is... It's anyone can be diseased. The whole world, people are diseased. The question, are you taking the cure? Are you actually trying to cure, purify the disease, correct the disease, correct the problem? And if a person is enthusiastic, patient, determined, takes good association and instruction, follows the regular principles, and straightforward in the dealings, according to Rupa Goswami's six-form formula, then naturally they can cross over these. Everyone has got certain amount of imperfection. It may be more gross in the case of younger devotees, and theoretically it's supposed to be less gross in the case of more experienced older devotees, but even the older devotees may have very subtle types of mayas that also need to get purified. Subtle desires for fame, distinction, or subtle desires for different things which they haven't fully rooted out of their heart, although superficially it doesn't seem to have, but Krishna may reveal. So that even is not the end of the world. It depends how they, if they surrender and they can realize that I haven't fully purified my heart and I have to adjust. So the purification continues until we become completely pure. The symptoms of the disease are going to come out. So that's not bad. It's expected that we have disease. That's why we're in the material world. We have some spiritual problems. But the question is how we deal with it, how we try to purify it. You shouldn't become disheartened. There are so many problems, therefore, it's hopeless. You should go on purifying. Someone goes to the hospital, I got so many diseases, what's the use? One by one, the doctors try to cure the diseases, and eventually, if the patient has a will to live, there's a good hope for the patient to recover. We have to keep the will always to live as Krishna consciousness, to live in our Krishna devotional service, and then we can cross over these problems. Any other question?
This question is not directly related to this question.
I reserve the right of acceptance.
Yeah.
Mahavishnu doesn't come in direct contact with the material energy. He just glances at Roma, his own consort, and the reflection of that glance is agitates the material energy. And the expansion of Lord Mahavishnu, so Lord Shiva form, actually comes in contact with the material energy. And he's the first masculine principle, Shambhu, of the material world. And thus, he and the material energy, by uniting, create their original material situation. Krishna is not materially masculine or feminine. He's transcendental. So are his energies. But the material energy is materially feminine, and his expansion, Lord Shiva, is the material masculine form. Therefore, Shiva is worshipped as the Shiva Linga.
So, what is the expansion of the vision?
He's a partial expansion. This is why he said that when he's first expanded, he's like milk, but then when he's like Vishnu's milk, and Shiva becomes yogurt. Because once he combines with the material energy in a material relationship, then he becomes a little bit transformed. So it's like milk turning into yogurt. So he loses some of his transcendental potencies. Therefore he becomes Shiva Tattva.
So when he is born from the organ of Lord Brahma, that's the same Shiva that manifests in his universe.
And that's a, like an expansion of the original Lord Shiva, the Rudra form for the universe. There's a lot of different Shivas, Shiva Tattvas, different forms of Shiva. Shiva before touching Durga, after combining Shiva in the boundary of the material and spiritual world, and the Shivas in the universe of Kailash. I don't know that detail about all the different. I know there's like 11 Rudras or something. It's a whole big tattva. Because it's one of the intermediate tattvas. It's unlimited. I mean, you could go discuss, there's also so many forms of Durga, different aspects. So those who are like in the Shiva tattva, some of them don't even realize that there's something beyond Shiva. They somehow just close their eyes to Vishnu's supreme position. So they're really into studying all these different aspects of Shiva. Or the Shaktos, those who worship Durga, they study all the different forms of Durga. We generally know that there's these different forms and there's all different forms of Durga, but it's not so important for us because they're different material aspects. Their relationship with Krishna, how they interrelate with Krishna, how they relate with the individual souls generally, is what's more important for us. To get into all the fine details, we can get into anything in detail. But in our limited lifespan, was there not that much use to get that much into the detail?
They don't actually realize they're both expansion
of
Krishna.
Those are the temples we don't take the prasad from. Those who think that the demigods are independent from Krishna or equal or greater. The Shaiva Siddhanta, there's some group like that, they think that Shiva is everything. There's some groups like that. I don't exactly. They don't refer to the Vedas. They don't accept the Vedas. Because the Vedas say that Krishna is supreme, Vishnu is supreme, Lord Shiva said it himself in the Vedas. To avoid this, they have some Tamil, ancient literatures which discuss about Shiva from that particular point of view, and they accept these as authority. So really it's a whole separate thing. We follow the Vedas, we follow the Vyasadeva, and so does Shankaracharya, so do all the authorities, like the new thing where they just follow Tamil Shastra. I would have my doubts, even in the Tamil literatures, there probably be some contradiction. Who's going to live? Who's going to go into it? I don't know. Hare Krishna. Anything about Jagannath? As far as I know. I was a pastime that reoccurs. I think it's too much off the point. Well, every day I'm only thinking about Shiva all day instead of Jagannath. Lord Brahma did the Abhishek for Lord Jagannath when he was installed.
Maharaj Ambarisha was the most exalted devotee of the Lord. He trained his subjects in such a way that the citizens in his state were not interested in anything material, including even the happiness of the heavenly planet. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to text 23 and text 24 of chapter 4, canto 9, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter entitled Ambarish Maharaj Offended by Durvasa Muni. So, this is a description leading up to how Amarish was offended by Durvasa Muni. This shows that how, because Maharaj Amarish was Krishna conscious, his whole kingdom was also Krishna conscious. He engaged all the citizens in chanting and hearing about the glorious activities of the personality of Godhead. This is basically what Prabhupada has engaged all of us in doing. He's chanting and hearing about the glorious activities of the personality of Godhead. This is our main business in the Krishna conscious movement. And by constantly chanting and hearing about the glories of the Lord, then naturally one becomes attracted to the Lord. So the devotee has got the independence and free will. And they, using this independence and free will, they decide to occupy the mind and thinking about, listening to, and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a decision by the devotee. This decision is the most important decision one can make. Everyone needs to make the decision whether or not they want to serve Krishna, or whether they want to remain in Maya. Once we decide to serve Krishna,
using our mind and engaging in His service and hearing about Him, glorifying Him. This is the beginning of the auspicious life. The citizens of Ambarish Maharaj's kingdom, because they only wanted devotional service, they can see that he had a very special kingdom. In fact, by hearing the glories of the Lord, they weren't interested at all in mystic power, liberation, or sense gratification, including elevation to the heavenly planets.